Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Well, let me turn to my guests who are here with me this morning in our visual radio studio. Welcome to the KSJE microphones, School Board President Kyle Rhodes from the Farmington School District. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for coming in. And, of course, Dr. Eugene Schmidt is here as well. Dr. Schmidt, it's always a pleasure to have you here as well. Good morning.
Scott, it is, and it's always a pleasure to be on that beacon of the Four Corners.
That's right. We're glad that you are here, everybody. And so, a number of things to talk about. Just briefly, the last time you were here, Dr. Schmidt, we were talking about your ribbon cutting and the unveiling of kind of the new office space for Farmington Schools that you're going to be sharing soon with San Juan College, and I attended that event, and I thought it went very, very well, and again, quite impressed with that new building.
We had a lot of fun at the ribbon cutting, and we're really pleased to be an educational partner with San Juan College. The purchase of the building would not have been possible without their investment and their partnership in this. It's a truly amazing joint venture in public education. So for those people who had a chance to tour the building, I think that they have a better understanding of how it works with college and public education sharing the same space. For us, it's almost 140 employees that we have brought in from across the, I'll say almost the county.
Right, exactly, from different locations around the county. And I guess from a business standpoint, Kyle Rhodes, I mean, this kind of makes business sense, does it not, to have a lot of all of your folks now under one roof to collaborate and to be able to talk to one another and work on projects together?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a good example is our data analyst. He was having to travel all across the district to meet with people regarding data. And now he can just go right next door, meet with people about data, analyzing that data. And that's just a small example of the collaboration we're getting across the breadth of the district, just by putting all of those people in one building, without talking about the financial piece, what an advantage that was. We think that we got that like 20 cents on the dollar, and we've lowered utility costs and all sorts of costs. So financially, it made a lot of sense. But more than that, the impact on education in our community is huge because of that collaboration we have in the district now.
And Scott, if I can add, as we become used to the building and realize what different kinds of purposes we have, it's amazing how many different functions actually take place. Already we've hosted 5 training events for the public education department, and we've begun to reach out to our community. For example, last night we hosted our first Spanish night for parents. And so we're using the building for a wide array of different activities, not only for our community, but for the betterment of the entire Four Corners. And a very specific Four Corners example, just a few days ago, last Thursday, we hosted the Tribal Nation audits of all the schools in the Four Corners. And so they have chosen Farmington as a site to come across the Arizona border to monitor the financial uses of the money that we have for Native American students to make sure that it complies with the intent of every student succeeds. And so just in opening up this facility, there's just an amazing array of different kinds of things. And so we're really appreciative of the community for entrusting the use of our monies to better the educational lives of our children.
Very good. Well, and the only downside that I've heard about the new building, gentlemen, is that as December gets here, you're going to need a much taller holiday tree to fill that atrium that you have. So I hope someone's working on that. But that's the only thing that I've noticed. But anyway, it's good to have you both here. We want to talk about a number of topics this morning with you both. And Dr. Schmidt, the first thing on our list would be some excellence in redesigning high schools in the district. And so explain to me what that what that means.
Yes, and first I'll share, even before then, that we're already a month into the school year.
How did that happen?
And yeah, think, right? How does that happen? That it is just blazing along, and for the parents and the listening audience, it has been a great start to the school year. We talk a little bit about enrollment, and we'll talk more about that later today, but bless the hearts of the families that entrust their children to the Farmington Municipal Schools, because in contrast to our neighbors, we're continuing to grow our enrollments, and so we're very excited about that. So let's talk about different kinds of things that are going on. The first is something that we're going to call high school redesign. And Rosinante High School is one of 16 high schools from the entire state. So imagine hundreds of high schools, but the public education department has selected Rosinante for a very special opportunity to partner and collaborate with schools across the state in redesign. And so if you think about Rosinante, it's traditionally been the alternative school and kind of the place where people end up.
Right.
When maybe they can't make it in other parts of the school system. Well, Rosinante is really interested in rebranding or redesigning itself to be a school of first choice, not necessarily last choice. And so Peter Deswood and his, what I will call Team Rosinante, are very engaged. In fact, they spent all of yesterday meeting as a team trying to understand what it would look like if they could do things differently than a traditional high school, but still make sure that kids have a quality of learning. So envision, and this is where we thank the board. The board's really interested in project-based learning. And former board member Isaacson was very engaged with the city of Farmington in trying to develop how can we turn learning experiences at the high school into projects. And so the community can be watching for I'm going to say nature versus nature.
Okay.
We're going to take the high school at Rosinante through a project that they will build a nature trail up on that hill overlooking Rosinante, that if you were to go over to the other side, you'd see Heights Middle School.
That's right.
But we're going to be looking at how can we turn a class project into a nature trail that gives kids a chance to think about the flora and fauna of the desert, even as we try and understand the science and the environment that surrounds the ecosystem called Rosinante High School. So it's going to be a very fun experience. Just as another example, the school is wondering, what if they became the first high school that opened the day at 9 o'clock? So there's some ideas that they're going to be throwing out, maybe go 9 to 4 to better meet the needs of the students that tend to be the clients or customers, oftentimes families or people that need to work. And so how would that look if we just begin to, change the layout of the day? So it's all about high school redesign. It's about reimagining projects, maybe instead of seat time, competencies instead of tests. We have a great endorsement yesterday from Secretary Stewart, the new public education department. He's been here like 2 weeks or something.
Right, yeah, very new on the job. But yes.
Team Rosinante had a chance to, the better part of yesterday morning, to sit with the incoming secretary and talk about what might school look like. And just to give you an idea, 16 high schools across the state are redesigning. One of the high schools down in Las Cruces is asking the question, what if they had an 18-day block of time? Instead of a semester, instead of a quarter.
I see.
Every 18 days, so 8 weeks or eight times a year, they would have different kinds of courses. The purpose behind keep kids interested, nobody falls behind, nobody fails, because in an 18-day period, the belief is that you should be able to keep up with your classmates. So different ideas floating from around the state. Let's be watching what Rosinante does.
Very interesting. And of course, for folks who go to Rosinante, or folks, maybe parents of folks who go to Rosinante, this is all designed or hopeful to have better outcomes or continue outcomes from your students, correct? And to be able to work around that learning environment and how those how those students learn?
Yes, with a typical enrollment of about 200, we see Rosinante with smaller class size. And so we're very interested in how does small class size translate into student success, especially in this new project-based world. And what our community knows, and again with the support of the board, in that Rosinante redesign, they actually have freshman classes. For 2 years, this is the second year that we have recruited 20 kids from our school system to go through Rosinante for the full 4 years. Typically, the older, more traditional Rosinante was you maybe showed up in the middle of your junior year, maybe sometime during your senior year when maybe things weren't going as well as you would want them in other high schools. And so instead of having kids show up from other high schools late in their career, Rosinante is really more interested in building a grow your own base from the 9th, 10th, and 11th, and 12th. So we now have sophomores that we have not had before, freshmen that we've not had before. So it's an exciting change for Farmington kids and an opportunity to think differently about how you get your diploma.
Very interesting. And let me ask Kyle Rhodes from the school board standpoint. I mean, the board seems open to some of these new ideas and how education, to me, seems to be changing than maybe when we were all in school 100 years ago.
Right, exactly.
You know, right?
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about kind of the board's role in some of this. And really, what we have purposefully done is build relationships with the public education department. Because if we don't have those relationships, we don't get opportunities. So we've purposefully built that relationship, but also we've worked on how do we execute in our district. In other words, PED gives us a program, funds the program. How do we execute that program? How do we gather the data? And then how do we report back to PED on whether it's successful or whether it's not successful, or whether we need to adjust anything? And so that the board's role is to lay the foundation for success in the district and then let our experts, which is our administrative team, our teachers, our principals, carry that through. But we have to have great relationships with people. We have to have a focus on execution. We have to have a focus on gathering data, analyzing data. All of that foundational stuff has to be in place if we're going to pull this off. And so that's more of the board role. And then to support what's happening throughout the breadth of our district. We got to support what is happening and then hold people accountable for results. So that's where our role is. Some of these things are just phenomenal, what we've done. And it's the Gene Schmitz, it's the Phil Valdez, it's the Peter Deswoods at Rosinante, that we've got the right people in the right places that can execute and bring success to these programs.
Sure. And I imagine that the public education department is encouraging of these new approaches to education if it provides better outcomes and helps students learn what they're supposed to be learning in school. And so they're open to some of these new ideas, maybe to a point, but they still want to see those results, do they not?
Right, exactly. And so I think that you know, really, I've been on the board for 8 years, and I'm in my eighth year now, and education has changed a tremendous amount just in those 8 years, not considering decades before that. Whereas before, when I first came on the board, actually, we were measured on our facilities, our accounting systems, and things. We weren't measured on academic achievement. And that threw a lot of things in disarray when you start measuring academic achievement, because we hadn't done that before.
Right.
And now we've got new leadership at the higher levels of the state government with our cabinet secretaries that are willing to try things, that have based decisions, based ideas on data, say, let's try this. Then they go to those school districts that they think can execute, can collaborate, can share data, can share ideas, and let's see if this thing works. They realize it's not a silver bullet. It's a lot of little things that have to happen to drive academic achievement. And so I think that we have some really good leadership at a lot of different levels that are allowing us to do that.
Well, and we've talked on this program that Farmington schools are getting the attention from the state level because of some of the achievements that your students are doing. And so it's becoming quite clear, I think, across the state that what's going on here appears to be working. And you have the numbers to back it up, too. If anyone asks you to prove it, you can.
Oh, absolutely. I've got a bunch of bullet points about what have we done here that proves what we're doing is the right work. And, I mean, we're at the top of the state in ELA proficiency. We have the best high school.
English language, is that?
English
ELA?
Language and arts.
Thank you.
And we have the best high school in the state. We have some of the safest schools in the state. So we've got a ton of things that are happening here that proves that lends to our credibility and what we've been working on. Gene?
Very good.
Yeah,
Dr.
I want to add that, again, these things are not possible without a strong belief system by the board in what are we supposed to be doing. And certainly, we are supposed to be producing graduates who are career and college ready, and we're gonna call them success ready. But also, we have a board that is open to unleashing the potential of its people, and so for that we are grateful. We have built a reputation and a level of confidence, not only with the public education, but I'd love to have Kyle talk about our relationship with the governor's office, but. The board has encouraged us to think differently. And in thinking differently, we have gone to PED and said, would you help us with, whether it be teachers pursuing excellence, principals pursuing excellence, a high school redesign model. Just this last week, public education department called and said, we have some extra money. Would several of your elementaries consider a elementary Reads to Lead grant proposal? And so we're meeting next Tuesday in hurried fashion with public education department.
How often does that happen, that they call you with extra money? Has that ever happened?
And so that, with us quite a bit.
Yeah, okay.
With Farmington, but that is trust and confidence that if we're going to invest, the money will be invested and deliver a product. And so we're very proud of the staff across the community that recognizes challenge, opportunity, and turns it into ways to better the lives of our kids.
Very, I can understand that. And Kyle Rhodes, let me ask again, you don't want to just be a rubber stamp for some of Dr. Schmidt's ideas. Is there pushback sometimes at the board level of some of these things that the administration is bringing to you to say, here's our next new thing, what do you think?
Oh, absolutely. So sometimes the board gets thrown under the bus for things not well executed.
Oh dear! All right.
And we have very expressive discussions about how things are executed to make sure we're doing it well, that we're gathering data that we can support what we're doing. We have dashboards that says, okay, here's our progress. What's frustrating in the schools that I had to get used to, that PESCO doesn't have to deal with. If we implement a new process on the shop floor at PESCO, we can tell you in a week if that's successful.
Right.
The schools, it takes years. So we're just trying to make sure we're on the right track and keep everybody aligned and heading in the same direction.
That's a big ship to turn, I suppose, when you're talking about a school district and results.
It is, except that we have exceptional people in every leadership position across the district. That has been purposeful to do that. Those exceptional people then can turn on a dime and make certain things happen. Gotcha. If you don't have exceptional people in those leadership positions, it cannot happen. So that the board has worked very hard in making sure that happens.
Gotcha. So let me add very quickly, Scott, that
of course,
because I get the attention of the board if it looks like we're doing too much too fast. And so Kyle mentioned a key word, and that's aligned. Continuously, the board asks the question, is what you're doing aligned to the work that we have set as a district strategic goal? And so that's the key word, is that we want to make sure that it is aligned. We're just not throwing state money or taxpayer money to hopefully solve a problem. It's very strategic, and a lot of conversation goes into, is it aligned, and then show us the data that it's working.
Right, which I guess is why we're seeing some of the data that we're seeing about achievement and things like that with your students, because all these things are kind of building on top of one another together, not tearing something down to build something up,
yes.
I would think. to make an analogy. But let me ask you both a little bit about some other topics on our list this morning. I could talk about this all day, but I know we have
other things. I'd love to talk about it all day.
I know you would. But there are some things going on with Esperanza Elementary School that I want to ask you about, Dr. Schmidt, and that also involves the word excellence and some of your teachers and other folks working to help students at Esperanza, right?
Yes, there's a lot going on at Esperanza, and Esperanza will be one of those new reeds to lead when the state called us and said, what if, you know, could you give us three more schools to participate? But Esperanza and Apache this last year, as the local community knows, did a K-5 plus extended school year. And so they are in the process of trying to understand what does kids' success look like when you go to school 205 days. And in talking to those principals, both Jennifer Bowles Apache, certainly Dr. Hedges from Esperanza, they were amazed at how better prepared those 172 kids were at the start of the year. So it is encouraging enough that we will be asking at least three other elementaries, probably McCormick, McKinley, Bluffview, about their interest in beginning school probably next June. We're going to blow up the traditional calendar and say, what happens if school ends on May 27th and begins again on June 5th? And then, you know, 15 more days in July to kind of break up 25 over the summer. But Esperanza is taking a lead, and we're very excited about the work that they are doing in what we would call high reliability schools. We have a lot of middle, elementary, and high schools doing that work, but it's just in leadership saying, we can be better. How do we do that?
Gotcha. Go ahead.
Do you want to mention anything about the K-Plus program results this summer?
Yes, and certainly Kyle joined me because they reported to the board, so I'll let you.
Well, so the state came out with a new program this year, and two of our schools took advantage of the program that we felt were ready, and that was Apache and Esperanza.
Yes.
And so we taught an additional 20 days of instructional time, and we had a report on that to the board this last board meeting, and they showed tremendous results from that program in that when the kids came back to school in the fall, that they were ready to go. They did not have to teach for weeks and weeks to get them back up to where they finished in at the end of May. And so that K-Plus program really looks like it can be a very good program that we can expand throughout the rest of the district.
Interesting. You've eliminated that summer slide that we always hear about. Is that what you're talking about?
That's what it looks like.
Interesting.
That's what data suggests.
Now, I would imagine, though, that this is a bit of a sales pitch, because a lot of parents plan events and vacations over the summer, and if kids are in school, that changes a little bit of that mindset, does it not? This is a new way to think about things.
Yes, and so let me speak to that, because we will be very shortly beginning conversations with McCormick, McKinley, Bluffview, continued conversations with Apache and Esperanza, because it is a family commitment. They actually give up, they don't give up, they offer to educate their children an extra 25 days. And that, the thinking behind that, if you're a struggling student behind academically, and we can get you 5 years of an extra 25 days of school, you're going to be not only caught up, but maybe ahead of your kids. So we're investing in education at its lowest level. Let's make sure the early ones are at grade level. And then that just becomes a great opportunity to build as enrichment from their third grade on. So we're really trying to invest early. The results, as Kyle showed, are very positive, encouraging, enough so that we would like more schools to begin that conversation with parents about. And that's why we talk about this 10 days in June and 15 in July, maybe for next year. Mm-hmm. So you still have a 20-day summer to do that family thing that you are talking about.
Sure. And I guess, too, if you can show results and how the students will perform better when they come back to school after their shorter break, that may help convince some parents that this is the right thing to do.
Yes, you're going to see parents rally to this cause, because it really is an investment in their future. If we can catch kids up and then focus those last, grades 3 through 12, just building on those skills, kids are going to be successful and ready for the work world.
Very good. My guest this morning from the Farmington Municipal School District, School Board President Kyle Rhodes is here, and School Superintendent Dr. Eugene Schmidt is here speaking with me on KSJE. And we have about 5 minutes remaining this morning, gentlemen, but I wanted to ask you a bit. We talked about enrollment, too, and I want to get to that in just a moment, but also working with the governor's office and Dr. Schmidt. She unveiled a pretty aggressive program about free college in New Mexico, and can Farmington Schools help with that initiative if it goes through the legislature?
Yeah, we're still interested in understanding the free college and the opportunity that presents. The part that Farmington will play in this is responding to the governor's challenge to have more kids participate in an application process called FAFSA. And the whole FAFSA world is that financial aid that they apply to the federal government to put the federal government on notice that they're interested in, are there grants, are there college loans, how can families help their child afford to go to college? And an important step is the financial aid process. And so
that's the first form you have to fill out, I guess, to apply for federal financial aid. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Someone who's done this a couple times in his life.
Oh, man. So let me give an example. When my daughter went to New Mexico State University, and she got scholarships, she got academic scholarships. Mm-hmm. So this isn't just for in-need scholarships, but it's for scholarships of excellence. Mm-hmm. So you have to fill out this form. I'm a degreed engineer. My wife is degreed. I run a complex organization. That FAFSA form was very complex and very challenging to fill out. And so what we're offering to our kids is the opportunity to work through that whole process so that they have a better chance of receiving financial aid. I'm also on the New Mexico State University Foundation Board, and we give out $7 million a year to kids for scholarships,
right?
But
right.
They have to have this FAFSA form to even get in the door. So what we're doing is very, very impactful for our kids.
Very good. And I know the college here can help to fill out that form. They have several events that they promote to talk about how to fill that out and to offer assistance for families that need help filling it out. So there's that as well. I'll put a plug in for San Juan College.
Yes.
But Dr. Schmidt, this is something you want to see more of your students then take advantage of, this opportunity?
Yeah, and the governor's challenge, she would hope that with this senior class, that 80% or more seniors would apply for their FAFSA. Farmington has been hovering around 67%. So we have some work cut out to us to draw in a new population to get to that 80%. We have to make college a belief for all kids. And so we hope to, early in October, both PV, Farmington High, and Rosinante will all have their first FAFSA nights. This is important because by December is when people begin applying for college scholarships and things, and they've applied for their college. They'll be getting notifications of how much financial support. And San Juan College has been an important partner, but it's going to take more than a lottery scholarship to go to college. And so we want our kids to be filling out the financial aid forms through the federal government that make them eligible to apply for scholarships, grants, and other opportunities to go to school.
As Kyle said, opens a lot of doors
once you get that filled out.
So that's great.
Absolutely.
Before we run out of time, enrollment. We've been promising that all morning. Dr. Schmidt, you're telling me your numbers are looking pretty good?
Continue to grow.
Okay.
And it's like 11,400, and that is a number comparable to last year. The number that the community would be interested in is not only does that allow us to continue to maintain level of programming, but it also maintains level of staffing. Kyle may share that in the 5 years that I've had an opportunity to serve for the community as superintendent, 3 of those years there was serious cutbacks from the state. Just these last 2 years, the state has been in a different position financially, so we've begun to put teachers back into the classroom. And so it is important for the community to know that we as a school, and with encouragement from the board, are trying to maintain class size averages that the state would like.
I see.
And there are some formulas that Kyle can talk about if he likes, but it's hard to do that when money is short. When you do have a new availability, when we've made putting teachers back in the classroom a high priority.
Sure. And that's important, I think, for parents to understand as well, that you're not asking for waivers or things like that to have a larger class size than the state would like. And Cog Rhodes, briefly, can you give us your thoughts on getting more teachers back into the classroom and stable enrollment?
So we're constantly looking at enrollment, and I think that this year we've already put eight additional teachers positions into the district based on our enrollment numbers.
Okay.
And we try to predict, but I think that in sixth grade this year, we went up by 100 students.
More than 100 across the district.
That we didn't anticipate.
Okay.
So we're adding capacity. You know, in the manufacturing world, you add capacity. We're adding capacity in our classrooms and adding teachers because we do not want to exceed the state mandate of what they feel like is the optimum size of a classroom. Understand also is that strategically we want to equip our teachers, and that's what we're doing through Teachers Pursuing Excellence, Principals Pursuing Excellence, and these programs, so that they can have excellent instruction with the state mandated size of classrooms.
Got it. Very good. Well, we are out of time, gentlemen, this morning, but it goes by quick. Hopefully, if I did my job right. So
it
has for me. But thank you both for coming in this morning.
Well, appreciate thank you very much.
You're very welcome. My guests from the Farmington Municipal School District here on KSJE. I'll be back with more in just a moment, everyone. The time right now is 8:42. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.